to commence. The meeting, the purpose essentially was to consider the first draft of the report that is being prepared. Are there any apologies? Any apologies, Secretary? Honourable Maseko, one of the alternate members from the ANC. Honourable members, since there are no further apologies, I want us to look at the agenda of the meeting which has been distributed. The agenda is in front of us. Is there any additional items that you want to add to this agenda? No further additional items to be added to the agenda. Can I get somebody to move the adoption of the agenda? Honourable Kubai, seconded by the Honourable Ngobo. Item 4 on the agenda is the consideration and adoption of the minutes. We have a technical problem, Honourable Members, in terms of the minutes. The minutes was prepared on time, and there were certain changes that I've recommended to the minutes, which essentially deals with the input that was made last week in the meeting by the content advisors as far as the commonalities of these four different reports are concerned, also where the areas are of differences, and then also the outstanding matters for clarity that needed further consideration. That is an important part of the minute, and I've requested the Secretary to work it in, but unfortunately, due to time constraints, she could not do so. If the meeting is in agreement, we will consider those minutes at the next meeting of this committee. Agree? Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, before I get to the point on the agenda that deals with the consideration of the report, I want to just bring certain pieces of correspondence that has been forwarded to me via the Office of the Speaker. There's three letters of correspondence, and I'm going to request the manager in the committee section, Mr. Chabalala, just to deal just very briefly so that all of us are aware of what is in this correspondence, that we deal with it and so that we can also take a decision. And the reason why I want to deal with it now is not only to have it read into the minutes of this meeting, but it may be that some of this will also be considered to be part of the report and that will then be factored into the report if the committee agrees with that. Mr. Chabalala, the first letter comes from a certain group of people calling them the Public Members Unit Team. And essentially what they do is they reflect on what has happened as far as the report of the Public Protector is concerned. And I think you must just read the second, and then the last paragraph of this letter that we've received. Over to you, sir.
The letter reads as follows. Subject, Public Protector and Parliament. We humbly write this letter to the South African Parliament and Public Protector regarding the issue of Inkandla security upgrade. We as Public Members Unit Team feel that this issue has humiliated the President of the Republic of South Africa. We as members of the public, we are now putting the end to this issue by saying once the Public Protector finalizes every report that is needed, including that amount of money that they are saying the President should pay back, we as Public Members Unit Team will then take it from there, and we as the Public Members Unit Team, we will pay that money back on behalf of the President, Jacob Zuma. Paragraph number 2 reads as follows. We as members of the public believe that how the whole process was handled. Just to repeat, we as members of the public believe that how the whole process was handled, how it was announced to the public, how it was investigated, and how it is handled by some members of the parliament is just to disgrace the president of South Africa. And then proceeding to the last paragraph as instructed, on behalf of Public Members Unit Team, which is passionate about South Africa's transformation, we thank you in advance for your consideration of the request made here. Please, for more details, contact the below mentioned person on the above number or email. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Members, that is the gist of the first letter that we've received from this group. I must just add that we are still busy with deliberations, and although such letters can be sent to Parliament, we put it on record that it is there, it cannot have any meaningful bearing on the work of this committee that is dealing with the official reports, but I want to hear from members of the committee themselves.
Chairperson, as you said, that the letter, I don't think it's, we can note it, but there isn't, Parliament does not have mandate in terms of what the letter says. As members of the public, if they want to do what they want to do, it's up to them. We cannot pronounce on it. Let's note it and move on.
Can we go to the second letter, please? So we agree that we note it and we move on. The second one? Just see there. The second letter is it's a very long correspondence consisting of a number of pages. It runs into 18 pages. It comes from a group of attorneys representing a group under the banner Concerned Lawyers and Educationists for the Equality Before the Law. And it comes from Makigaba Incorporated group of attorneys. It deals with a formal complaint against the public protector, Advocate Thuli Madonsela, and it refers to various instances that they highlight as problematic to them and why they are bringing this to our attention. Now, if you just give me a minute, I'm just trying to get the procedural advice because we've referred this to the legal advisors in Parliament. We must remember, honourable members and ladies and gentlemen of the media, that this committee has a very specific mandate as an ad hoc committee. And the task of this ad hoc committee is to consider the report of the President. What this letter is saying is essentially that they have a major problem with the way that the public protector, according to them, is conducting her work and has conducted her work. And because of that, they are laying a formal complaint against the public protector in Parliament. Without going into the details of this matter, we must keep in mind that in terms of the current arrangement in Parliament, that there are portfolio committees and select committees that are set up specifically for such a purpose. In this instance, it should be the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services that must deal with complaints against the public protector. The procedural and legal advice that we have received has indicated that we should bring this to the attention of the meeting, and I am going to request Mr. Chabalala just to briefly read through it, given the seriousness of the issues that they raise on how we are going to proceed with this matter. But at this stage, I'm of the firm opinion that the matter does not necessarily resort in this forum. It's important that we are aware of it, but in terms of the contents thereof, that type of inquiry, if it is agreed to, of course, must be dealt with in a different forum. Mr. Chabalala, can you just read through the advice that we've received, please?
The letter reads as follows. Please find attached a copy of an undated letter to the speaker from a firm of attorneys, M. Makigaba Incorporated, submitting a formal complaint against the public protector, Advocate Thuli Madonsela, The letter arrived by fax on 17 September 2014. M. Magigaba Incorporated is acting on behalf of a group of South African citizens who have organized themselves under the banner of concerned lawyers and educationists for the equality before the law. The complaint is submitted out of concern that the public protector's report on the security upgrades and measures that were implemented by the state at the private residence of President J. Zuma contains procedural flaws, inaccuracies, inconsistencies, contradictions and errors. It is stated on page 7 of the letter that the public protectors, her first point of contact in releasing her report should have been Parliament, as the body to which her office is accountable in terms of section 1815 of the Constitution, and not the media in a locked-up briefing meeting of journalists. The client challenges the report on grounds of legality, lack of rationality, actions that are ultra-vires and material errors of the law. In view of the far-reaching consequences of the report, the client requests to Parliament is that an investigation to be undertaken and that appropriate corrective measures against the public protector should follow. The view of the client is that the public protector has contravened the Constitution and the Public Protector Act, and that she must be dealt with in terms of Section 194 of the Constitution and be removed from office forthwith. The Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy Recommendation. It is a recommendation of the office that M. Magigaba Incorporated's letter be tabled and referred to the ad hoc committee to consider submissions by the President in response to the Public Protector's report. The ad hoc committee's next meeting is scheduled to take place on Thursday, 9 October 2014, which is today. Thank you, Chair.
I now open to members of the committee for comment. Honourable Dlakude.
Thanks, Chairperson. This is not a comment, but to say that the letter must be referred to the relevant portfolio committee to deal with it. We are not mandated to deal with such matters. The Justice Portfolio Committee must deal with this letter. Thanks.
Okay, I will reply then to the Office of the Speaker, unless there's another view. Are all members in agreement? We support it. I will reply to the Office of the Speaker that this matter should be best dealt with by the appropriate portfolio committee that the public protector reports to on an ongoing basis. That is the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitution, Justice and Correctional Services Committee, so that this matter is dealt with there and that that committee consider it and report back to the Speaker. It is currently outside of our domain. And there's also a third letter that we've received from the public protector herself, and I also want the secretary to read this letter.
The subject of the letter reads as follows. Report of His Excellency President Jacob Zuma to the National Assembly regarding the security upgrades at his Gandla private residence. 1. Attached here to please find copies of my letter addressed to President Zuma on 21 August 2014, his response dated 11 September 2014, and my further reply on 15 September 2014, the contents of which are self-explanatory for your attention. I have not received any response from President Zuma to my letter of 15 September 2014. Having reflected on the issues raised in the attached correspondence and the way forward in resolving the apparent impasse in respect of the remedial action taken in my report, I considered approaching you in terms of Section 8 of the Public Protector Act 1994 to request a debate on the matter in the National Assembly. However, as a parliamentary process dealing with inter alia, my report is already underway, I have decided to defer to that process. Should it be decided that the National Assembly requires a briefing on the contents of my report, as had been done historically in respect of the reports of the public protector on the investigation of the strategic defense packages for the acquisition of armaments for South African National Defense Force, on an investigation into an allegation of misappropriation of public funds by the Petroleum Oil and Gas Corporation of South Africa and on an investigation into complaints relating to misconduct and maladministration in connection with the affairs of the Commission for Gender Equality, it would be my pleasure to oblige. I look forward to hear from you in this regard at your earliest convenience. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member, that is a letter from the Public Protector, the Honourable Kubai.
Thanks, Chair. I've noted two things out of the report. Firstly, in terms of the debate of the letter. The debates, it's procedural. I mean, the Public Protector shouldn't get into spaces of the thing debating. But just to say, let's note the letter. I don't think we are at a stage where we have decided. We have continued thus far in the manner that we have been engaging, and I think we can also note that letter.
Honourable Mocheka.
I think, Chairperson, we really need to raise concern that the Public Protector, and everybody knows that Parliament has established an ad hoc committee to deal with the issue of the security upgrades. But for the Public Protector to come back to Parliament and ask Parliament to debate an issue which relates to the matter that is before this committee, I think really it's some kind of interference with the process of Parliament that she should be advised to desist from that and allow Parliament and this ad hoc committee to do with its work without external interference.
Any further comment? No additional comment. I'll communicate then to the speaker that the committee have considered this correspondence as well, and at this stage we are in possession of the report of the Public Protector as published in March this year, secure in comfort, and that currently there's no need for the Public Protector to engage further in this process until such a stage that the committee will decide otherwise. But we will continue with our work, and we really thank the Public Protector for willingness to be available if needed. We'll ensure that the Secretariat also forward this letter to the Speaker. The item on the agenda that the meeting was primarily called for dealt with the consideration of the draft, the first draft of the report. Now, as per the decision of the last meeting, the meeting decided that the technical team consisting of the content advisors and also the researchers and committee secretary, the secretariat, start looking into drafting this first draft of the report. I now want to hand over to the content advisors who will introduce themselves when they present so that we can get an indication as to where they are with this report. There was also part of the discussions in the meeting last week that was as soon as this report is ready, it should be handed over to the chairperson for scrutiny and to see that all the issues are correctly captured. I have not received such a copy yet. Mr. Denison, can you just respond to us, please? Also indicate to us where exactly are you now, the processes that you followed, and an indication as to if there's anything that the committee needs to consider at this stage. Honourable Lakure?
I think they must come and sit this side because they are sitting behind us, so we cannot...
You want them to fill yes, the opposition benches?
Yes, yes, yes.
Will the two or three of you just move to the side, please? Can the researchers also join them on the side?
Thank you, Chairperson.
And apologies to the members for looking into your back rather than into your eyes. I think this is better. Chair, it is indeed correct that we were tasked with drafting the report. We can indicate, Chairperson, that the process of doing so is one that needs to be tackled in a very meticulous manner. We are making good progress with the report. We can indicate, Chair, that we talk about meticulous because we want to ensure that this report reflects accurately what took place over the last few meetings. We want to ensure that we capture the work of the committee correctly and that we give due consideration for all the complexities that may have emerged in the work of the committee. At the moment, Chairperson, we want to indicate that we are looking at specific components out of which the report will consist. And these are specifically the source documents, the minutes of each of the meetings, the President's report to the National Assembly itself. But, Chair, we are not able to put the report in front of this committee at the moment, also because we find it prudent to include as part of one of the components that we look at, the transcripts of the meetings, instead of just looking at the minutes itself, because that will allow us to look and to find more and to mine further into the specifics of the discussions that took place in each of these meetings. So those transcripts we have requested, Chair, and that's the real reason why there is no draft report available to yourself and this committee currently. The honourable members and Chair would recall that we did a piece on commonalities and differences between the reports. We found that in spite of the usefulness of that we need to further look at commonalities and differences to ensure further clarity, and that we need to include, members may recall, that we focused specifically on the SIU and on the Public Protector's report. We want to make certain, Chair, that we also have a proper look, and the Honourable Kubai did look at and assisted the committee greatly in her own analysis of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence report as well as the Interministerial Committee's report. So the committee did that work, but we want to just, Chair, make certain and indicate here that that's one of the other components that we feel needs to be beefed up for us to put a proper report in front of you. Chair, I don't want to go through commonalities and differences again, but I can indicate maybe just for the committee's and maybe that it simply because it must form part of the minutes of this particular meeting, I want to indicate two things. One, what the source documents are. I'm not going to go through commonalities and differences again, but I will list the broad components out of which commonalities and differences that we found consist. So just to list, Chair, the source documents, and honourable members can then pull us in the right direction if we miss any documents. The first document, Chair, is the Public Protector's report named Secure in Comfort. I think it's the Public Protector's report number 25. It is the Special Investigation Unit's final report. It is the Interministerial report that is often also referred to as the Security Cluster report. The report of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence on the Interministerial report. or the security cluster report. Fifthly, the letter of the President in response to the Public Protector's Report number 25 of 2013-2014, which is the same as the first document I referred to named Secure in Comfort, and the letter from the Public Protector to the President. And Chair, here I earlier on referred to this one, the President's report to the Speaker of the National Assembly dated 14 August, that would also be used as a source document. So that's the one aspect, Chair. The other aspect to do is to just quickly, broadly list commonalities and differences. The commonalities and differences basically centers around, firstly, an agreement that there was cost escalation. Secondly, that legal measures and financial control was not complied with. And Chair, that a lot of the work of all these committees, I mean, of all these government agencies and structures that we call the source documents, centers around those aspects. So Chair, we humbly therefore, given these complexities and given all these documents and the fact that we need to go through those transcripts of the minutes of the meetings, we humbly request that we need a bit more time, Chair, to craft this report and craft it in the best way possible for this committee to continue its work. Thank you, Chair.
No, just before I give the other members an opportunity, you see, Mr. Denison, you say you need a bit more time. Can I just get a clarity in terms of a bit more time, because there are certain time constraints under which we are also working, and that we need to report back to the National Assembly by 24th of October. That is the mandate that was received from the National Assembly. Also, I did not hear you say, and maybe it is there because you're still busy with the report, is that I want to see very explicitly in that report the arguments that are put forward, and also what was reported in these different reports, honourable members, is where is it mirrored against current legislation, current laws that exist. It must be backed up by current laws. I can also recall that in the meeting previous week there was a discussion around the 10 steps that were supposed to be followed that the SIU report upon, and say only two of those steps were followed. We also need to mirror it against that specific 10 steps that were supposed to be followed, and who was not, or who didn't follow these steps, so that we give a very, very clear indication. You see, honourable members, we will have to report back to the House with very clear recommendations. It's not only findings. It's not only an assessment of what are in all these reports, and that it is written this way and that way, and this one have said that and that. Our task is to come up with recommendations by taking the President's report in response to these reports and say, this is the view of the ad hoc committee. It cannot be just a generic report of saying this is what has occurred and that is there and we are now submitting the report back. So for the members to be able to deliberate on very clear findings with recommendations, because you can't make recommendations without any findings in those reports where there's areas that is not clear. We need to clarify those things. We need to have that type of substance in the report. I don't want an academic report. I want a report that is mirrored against the mandate of the committee and also, very importantly, the existing legislation. And if legislation was flouted by whoever, it must be indicated as such, so that we can make recommendations not only in terms of what is there, but on how can we prevent in future a situation like this from reoccurring. I hand over to the honourable members now. Honourable Ngobo, then the Honourable Dlakude.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the explanation. It looks like it's going to take us some time because today is the 9th and we are to submit a report to Parliament on the 24th. It looks like this might also affect our deadline somehow. We also have to look into that, Chairperson. And also, it's good that you're talking about the legislation because you're actually going to point to us what of the legislation was not complied to, so that we are able to also, as we work around, to say, yes, this is exactly what has happened. You coming from your portfolios. Thank you.
Onward, Lakude.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the content advisors for their report on this, on the work that they are still trying to do. I think, Chairperson, we really need to give them some time. We must also remember that they are not only dealing with one report here. There are four reports that they are dealing with. And also, we must understand that we will be starting with the process of BRRR next week as Parliament. So they really need time for them to go deeper and check the commonalities and also the differences and the gaps that are there, because it's work on progress. So we will not rush into doing a rush job or a shoddy job just because time is against us. We must allow the process to move forward. Thanks, Chairperson. They need enough time to do that. Thanks.
I think, Honourable Dakule, you mentioned the important part. Apart from commonalities and differences, the gaps, I'm interested in the gaps, right? And then we will have to still engage. I don't want to create an expectation that when we, and they will have an opportunity now to tell us when, how much time more do they need. I want to make it very clear. I don't want to create an expectation that at the next meeting, a report will be up for adoption. It cannot happen. We will further interrogate that report. We want to see where those gaps are, and then we will have to make certain findings and recommendations as far as those gaps are concerned, as far as it is possible. But we will only be able to do that once we see the report, the draft report that is available. To the content advisors, how much more time do you need for this, keeping in mind that you say you're dealing with all these complexities and things?
Chair, thank you. Thank you to the members also for the responses, Chair, because it, my apologies. It does assist us also to give flesh around why and how much more time, Chair. Chair, we are at a stage where we have observations. We can say we have observations. We have identified gaps. And here we're talking about where the legislative framework is strong and where there are weaknesses. And it's based not on what we found, Chair. It's based on the committee's work and the honourable members' work. Chair, for us to come up with a first draft, Chair, it looks like we need to at least Wednesday, Thursday next week for a first draft to be put in front of you. But that, of course, Chair, depends on the honourable members and yourself. We serve at your pleasure.
In which way are you involved in the BRRR process with the other committees?
Chair, the four of us are all integrally involved in our own committees' BRRR processes. We draft those reports, Chair.
Honourable Checha.
Chairperson, I think that the content advisors are not unreasonably delayed, because if you are dealing with more than one report and there are transcripts, there will have to be cross-references to aid us to understand, and also the reports may throw up other needs of the work that we still have to do. So I don't think we should be saying that even what they produce is something that is going to be a report, in the sense that we are considering a report for adoption. Further work may arise from that, but I think the approach that they've decided on is a correct approach. We must give them time to go and do the work.
I think that is the general view that's emerging. They've indicated next Thursday that by the latest they should have something. If it's earlier, please get it to me. my apologies, as soon as possible. But now I'm aware that next week all committees are starting with the budget review and recommendation reports, the processing thereof, which is a two-week process. That takes us right up to the 24th of October when this committee must also report. I am aware there's a number of chairpersons sitting here, four of them in fact, who are also chairing some of those or those committees that must submit those reports. Deputy Chief, it will put us under real pressure to come up with what we need to come up with. It's a very important report that we must submit to the National Assembly, and we cannot take any shortcuts to arrive there. Honourable Beekman?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the reality is that we must also submit our portfolio committee's BRR report, BRRR reports, Friday the 24th. That's the reality. And for instance, in the case of my committee, portfolio committee on police, we're sitting on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in terms of engagements with departments. So our availability for next week is out in terms of engagement on this matter. And of course, we must still adopt it in the next week. So I just want to flag that as a reality.
Deputy Chief?
I think, Chairperson, what we need to do is to see how far they go with the drafting of these reports and also the gaps that they are going to also identify. Then we'll take it from there, Chairperson, how we move forward. Thank you. In our next meeting.
Yeah. No, I hear what you say, Deputy Chief Whip, but if we just take into account that, for instance, we find space next week to meet to consider the first draft of what they have been working on. In terms of the rules of Parliament, the report must be published in the ATC before the 24th of October, which is the following week. And really, we must realistically look at it, and we must start the discussions with the Chief Whip of the majority party to look at the possibility of extending the deadline for this ad hoc committee to be able to report back to the National Assembly. I will take it upon myself as the chairperson of this committee to start that dialogue with him, and also keeping in mind, Deputy Chief, what you have said from the side of the ANC, I propose that you do the same. May I just indicate once again, honourable members, that whatever we come up with must answer the basic resolution that was passed in the House. Look at the report of the President in response to all these reports that are there. That is what we should focus on, right? And there, when we find that we are sitting, as some of the members are referring to certain gaps, we want that to be highlighted very, very clearly so that we know, Honourable Motshekga, as to what we are supposed to focus on. And also, how are we going to close those gaps? Right? How are we going to close those gaps? So I think there's general agreement that we do give them another week to work on the report, but I can assure you, content advisors, you won't get another week after next week to continue work on it. We must bring it to closure now so that we have something that we can work from and that is also properly referenced against the specific laws that exist in the Republic so that we can start concluding this work that has been given to us. Is there any further comment, honourable members, on this matter? Can I then indicate that the date of the next meeting will be determined after consultation with the content advisors when that report will be ready? That will be a key determinant, but also I'll start the discussions with the Chief Whip so that we can see how we are going to meet the deadlines and the time frames that has been set by the National Assembly to complete the work as soon as possible without leaving anything that requires our consideration up for second guessing. Honourable members, that brings us then to the end of this meeting. The date of the next meeting will be communicated to you. I'll also look at all your programs, chairpersons of committees, and if the need be, we can meet after hours, because usually the portfolio committees sit until 5 p.m. in the evening, so from 6 p.m. there is sufficient time to work on it. With those words then, thank you very much for your attendance. and the committee will now rise.